Not since Michael Haneke's remake of his own film, Funny Games, from German to English, have I come across a director who has decided to adapt their own work in a different language. But Gloria Bell is Chilean director Sebastian Lelio's American version of the film Gloria, which he made in 2013, before his Academy Award-winning A Fantastic Woman and Disobedience. It's a film about a middle-aged divorcee and mother of two who hits the dating scene and becomes involved with a secretive man, here played by John Turturro, who can't quite commit. Slowly, he reveals he has an unhealthy sense of duty to his overbearing ex-wife and children, who are constantly haranguing him on the phone and involving him in a series of minor domestic crises. The theme of what people try and fail to hide about themselves and their pasts reflected a generation of Chileans in the original who came of age under Pinochet and then tried to reinvent themselves in the post-dictatorship, not always successfully. The American version, which Lelio has tweaked with the help of co-writer Alice Johnson Boer, speaks of an America veering to the right, with gun lobbies and the financial crisis creating a backdrop of stress and fear. Julianne Moore plays Gloria Bell, though, with the same kind of open-heartedness as Paulina Garcia did in the original. The same habit of breaking into song while listening to old hits on the radio in the car, or crying when one of her children says goodbye at the airport. There's a fierce side to this emotional honesty too, when she demands, not unjustifiably, that the man in her life love her with his full attention. But she's generous enough, and perhaps too generous, to give him a second chance. Although Moore brings a touch of glamour to the role that's slightly off-putting if you love the original, the underlying theme of emotional vulnerability as courage is as poignant and moving as ever. Gloria Bell is a welcome reprise of a character who is, for me, one of the most touching depictions of middle-aged womanhood I've seen in recent cinema. And it's all beautifully photographed in a way that transforms the supposedly banal world of office, home and pickup bar into an expressive topographical universe, evoking emotions and feelings in ways that great melodramatic directors like Douglas Sirk could do. Coming up, I talk about the film's meld of formalism and theme with the wonderful Academy Award winning actor, Julianne Moore.
It gets me nowhere to tell you no.
Hi, Peter. I haven't heard from you in a while, so I thought I'd give you a call. That's it. I love you. It's your mother.
And
life just goes by in a flash like that.
I know. You tell me the same thing every 10 years.
Love is in the air. Everywhere
you come here a lot?
Yes. No, not a lot. I mean, sometimes.
What's your name?
Gloria.
Well, Julianne Moore, I have to tell you that the first film, Gloria, always reduces me to tears by the end. And I thought, well, the proof of whether this remake is good or not will be whether I have to reach for a tissue at the end of Gloria Bell. And I have to tell you that I'm pleased to tell you that I did. I had tears by the end of it as well. And maybe you can give me your theory on why this film does pack such an emotional punch.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's interesting because when people hear that, they think that you're automatically going to feel sort of, you know, gutted or really sad. But I think what the reason that you cry is that it's so joyful. It's so much, you know, her experience, which is, you know, pretty much experience of an ordinary woman living her life, is also so filled with so much feeling and so much joy, just the joy about being alive and experiencing things. And I think that's what makes you cry, just that idea that feeling can be that intense. I know that I felt that way, you know. I mean, and I feel so, you know, she's the kind of character that you really admire because she's always reaching towards something that's full rather than something that's less. She kind of always goes toward more in a really wonderful way.
There is that, isn't there? And throughout the film, obviously, she's, you know, one of the key struggles she has is with this mysterious man that she begins dating.
Right.
But it's almost like, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but by the end, this journey that she goes on, it ends up being this journey towards herself, which sounds like a real cliche, but the film, both films actually illustrate that so wonderfully and so powerfully, I think. And I think that's where the uplifting part comes from.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And also there's a sense of almost of intimacy and empathy that you get in watching her. And that's because of how Sebastian Lelio, the director, is films her. It's so, you know, every single shot is, you know, she's in actually every single shot. Even like if it's a shot of somebody else, there'll be a piece of her body in it. And it's so intimate. And so, and you realize too that each character experiences, it's like a piece of Gloria, but the audience are the only people that experience Gloria in her entirety. You begin to see her, the audience sees her as she sees herself. So you, as an audience member, you start feeling like you're watching yourself. You know, there's this really, really intimate experience. So I think that's what it is too, is it kind of brings up all these feelings about who we are, who our very, very personal selves are.
Yeah, I think articulated that very eloquently. In fact, by the end, that sort of rediscovery, her rediscovery of herself is kind of our rediscovery of ourselves somehow. I mean,
yeah.
I love also the little touches that remain from the original, little touches in your character, like the round owl-like glasses and the singing to the radio in the car, of course, that cocoon where we're with her. Is so wonderful. Even the slightly hunched posture. Tell me about the attention to detail that you discussed with Lelio in making this film.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. We didn't talk a lot about it. I mean, I think the glasses were always part of the character. I mean, that's something that he wanted. And also, if I don't know if you noticed, but they're different colors. One she has one blue pair and one red pair, and they switch at different times in the film. I mean, in terms of like my posture, I think it was just, I wanted to carry myself as someone who didn't assume she was the center of attention. You know, so she's always kind of, she's present, but sometimes will recede even in her own life. Like the costumes, my friend Stacey Batchat did the costumes, and we talked about what kind of clothes she would wear. We love those. We love those wrap dresses because they're something that they're practical. They're basically affordable, but then they have like a touch of like a dance element to them, something you could dance in, and something could also seem to be like a little dressy or a little bit glamorous. So everything that we did, we wanted to have some kind of emotional impact. You know, everything was considered, but also considered in the way that you consider it in life. You know, not like you're making some kind of big gesture, but that this is just part of who this woman is.
Mm. What's the difference between the two sets of glasses? I have to confess, I didn't notice that, but was there any sort of particular meaning to that?
I really don't know. I mean, I never asked Sebastian, except that he definitely wrote that they were different colors, and that sometimes he would look at me and he'd say, "No, the blue ones. No, the red ones." So I don't really know what it
Maybe
was.
It's just also there's a wonderful almost Fauvist sense of color to certain moments in this film. I mean, there is an almost magical realist sense, a fantastical element to the way this woman's journey through essentially some fairly everyday but nevertheless very sort of moving crises. You know, her journey through that is almost, there's a Wonderland element to that. And I love the way.
Well, and a lot of that was the responsibility of Natasha Breyer, who is our cinematographer. So, so gifted. You may have seen her work in this movie called Neon Demon.
Neon Demon. So, yes, I noticed.
Yeah, so Natasha uses color a lot. That's sort of a signature of hers. And there were times when she would refract light through all of these colors and kind of put like this haze around Gloria too. And it was really beautiful, really magical. And it also, it very much excited our camera department, you know, because there was one scene where I'm driving at night and they were refracting all this light through these prisms and all this different colors. So everyone was sort of part of that.
I love that
magical journey.
And yet the disco scenes, I mean, you'd think with a film with so many disco scenes, that would be the place where we erupt in light. But they're actually quite subdued, and I quite like the way that she shot those. They're these shadowy, almost sinister kind of places. I guess that's
it
the
feels
dating
like a cave,
scene.
Cave, doesn't it? That the disco feels kind of like a cave. Yeah. And then you see the light. You find the light in her apartment, you know, for example, or when she's driving, or just the kind of the California sky, how hazy that is.
Yeah, there's another recent California film, Karen Kusama's film Destroyer, which I think also captures something of that wonderful Californian light. Mm-hmm. I really like the way the subtext of the first film changes slightly to suit the new American setting. And what I noticed was, besides the fact that the economy doesn't seem to be traveling so well, at least for older women, you know, in the film, but it's the men in the film, the ex-husband who seems to be prone to aggressive displays of emotion.
A little bit of, yeah.
But also John Turturro, this mysterious new man that Gloria starts dating, you know, he has that backstory of being a military man, which was the same as his, you know, character in the original film.
Right.
But there's this subtle line about gun control, which makes you think, okay, yeah. So perhaps he's more towards that gun-toting side of politics, and yet he's a coward, of course.
Right. Well, I think that there's an element of conservatism, I think, that Sebastian wanted to present with Arnold that Gloria doesn't have, you know? I mean, even though Gloria presents herself as being apolitical, you realize that she's not. She's very forward. She's incredibly tolerant. She's very, very forward-thinking. Where is this guy? Actually, both her ex-husband and her new boyfriend both seem to have kind of a foot like in the past, you know, and Gloria is somehow very present and very forward.
Yeah. And I thought I thought the original film had a sense of critique of what Chile was burying in its past. And I thought, well, how will they translate that? And they have, I think, done that quite well. Was it useful to have an earlier film as a reference? Or did you need to pretend it didn't exist in order to be able to create something new?
I didn't think at all about it, except as a real admirer of the film. I mean, that's why I met Sebastian, because I saw the original and was so impressed with his work that when I met him, I just wanted to work with him. It really was not anything other than that. And that's why when it came up, it was sort of like I would only do the movie if he directed it, because it really was about Sebastian and his point of view, you know, and his humanism. So I would have done anything with him, you know, absolutely anything. So no, you don't, you know, obviously when something else exists, it's almost like if you've seen a production of Hamlet, you're not going to keep referring to that production of Hamlet while you're doing your own, but you're going to know that it's a piece of material that you're interested in reinventing or revisiting.
Julianne Moore, it's a wonderful film and a great performance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much.
Julianne Moore, the star of Gloria Bell. You're listening to The Screen Show on RN.